Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Marty Biron joins Howard and Jeremy. Marty Biron's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belch, your power of attorney, by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Marty Biron, in just a moment, your sports headlines. Sabres play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche, a 7 o'clock faceoff from KeyBank Center. Dylan Strome scored, breaking Arizona's goalless drought. Mm-hmm. They hadn't scored in 122 minutes. It scored on a power play. They got their first win. The Sabres play Arizona on Saturday to start that Western Conference trip. But for the Sabres, Bogosian and Sobotka returning to practice yesterday. Washington beat Vegas 5-2. Ovi had two goals. Philly beats Ottawa 7-4. 5-point night for Voracek. And for the Bills, Sean McDermott says he doesn't want to get into specifics on a LeSean McCoy trade rumor. He's an important part of the team, valuable piece of the team. Leave it at that. Derek Anderson in with the Bills, going through practice. And on the injury report, Micah Hyde, Raphael Bush, not a surprise. They were limited. So was Trey White with an ankle. So we'll keep an eye on that for the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson says he's playing, as does Lamar Miller. Tonight, the Eagles and Giants, Thursday Night Football. And I tease going to the break. We can ask Marty about this. The iconic landmark turned into an advertisement.
The Washington Monument.
Close. The Sydney Opera House.
Oh, no kidding, really? Yeah, with
turned into an advertisement for gambling.
Man. Oh, that's not, no.
I'm telling you.
No, come on. That's just not right.
Someone texted
I'm
in.
Sorry.
Someone guessed, is it Touchdown Jesus that's been turned? Like, yeah, put an ad on Touchdown Jesus. Like,
no.
The Sydney Opera House into an advertisement.
That'd be like putting an advertisement on the side of the Washington Monument.
Yeah.
Like, you know. No, just let's come on. No,
right?
Please.
Like just a big Geico up.
Yeah, right. Just write it up and down. Like,
they probably tried.
Turn your head sideways and go, "What's it for?" Oh, okay, sure. Yeah. Eat at such Capital Grill restaurant. Okay, got it.
Marty Biron on the AT&T hotline. Marty, you ever been to Australia?
No, I would love to go to Australia. Never been to Australia, but when you said an iconic monument, somehow I had in mind like the George Washington Bridge. I know it's not an iconic monument, but there's so many people that drive by it or on it every day that wouldn't that be the perfect place to advertise?
Yeah, any place in New York.
You're stuck in traffic a lot, so you'd certainly read it.
Yeah, right, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. Brooklyn Bridge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had plenty of those. You should start wearing ads on your suits on the telecasts.
Yes, but I'm going to have to agree on the ads with Brian Duff so he can have one part of it. I can have the other part. That means we have to call each other the day of the game to make sure we wear the right suit. It's just going to be way too complicated.
All right, forget it. I just thought it might be a nice little way to make extra money.
You know, with digital stuff on TV now, they can just put an ad on top of our suit and
that's
we won't
right.
even know.
That's right, yeah. That's like they do on the glass, you know, on the glass
on the
behind
glass
the nets.
Or by
sure.
The,
by
basketball
the, courts.
Home plate at the baseball game. It's usually a green screen, right, at this time of year, and they do whatever they want with it.
So, Marty, a winning streak for the Sabres, over 500. And they put it on the line tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. What about the Sabres so far this season has you the most excited or encouraged through three games?
Well, I mean, it's easy to look at Carter Hutton, right? Because without him, I don't know that we get a win. I think without Carter Hutton, we probably look at maybe even just getting a point out of the Rangers game. I think maybe we win against maybe they beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights because I think they played a really a much better game than Vegas, and that's it. But without Carter Hutton, we're not looking at being over 500. We're not looking at, you know, waiting until game three to get the first win. So I'm encouraged by how he's played, the details in this game, the key saves at key moments. So that's an easy one. I would say the other one I'm excited about and really encouraged with is Connor Sherry. And the fact that Phil realized in game one that Skinner on Eichel's line was not exactly the way that he thought it was going to be, especially if faced against one of the top lines in the National Hockey League. So he changed Skinner and Sherry, and it really worked. Jack Eichel is the best player on the team. So if Jack Eichel starts looking to make plays to Jeff Skinner and is always looking, where's Skinner? I got to give him the puck. That's not good, because the puck should be on Jack's stick. The puck should be where Jack can score. If he's in the slot, just let her rip and, you know, put her on net. So with Connor Sherry, no disrespect to him, but Jack is not looking for Connor Sherry. He's looking for Connor Sherry to make plays to him. And that is the key to that line right now is Reinhardt's going to be in front of the net. He'll tap in rebounds or deflections. Sherry's going to work and go for rebounds as well, but Jack Eichel's the one that's going to generate the offense, and that really is the one change. So I hadn't seen Sherry in training camp, right, because he didn't play any preseason games, so I'm really encouraged by that.
Marty, I want to 803-0550, by the way, if you got a question for Marty. I want to take you back to Carter Hutton, and I need a former goalie to describe what you like about him, because I watch him. Clearly, you can see, first off, he brings passing. You know, he brings the element of being able to break a play out of the zone with some really good passing, but he looks so just very calm, very smooth. He's not fighting the puck. There just seems to be a relaxed flow to his game, so to speak, but you're a goalie, so put it into better terms.
Well, I had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and I asked him about how he reads the play. They talk about hockey sense, hockey IQ, and it's very easy for a player to see who's got hockey sense. When the open man is open, if you have to just dump it in the zone instead of trying to carry it in, this is easy things to see. But for a goalie, reading the play is all about getting to the next location before the play even gets there and not cheating. And there's a fine line between cheating and reading the play. And you look at Carter Hutton, yes, he made the save on the 3-on-0, which is kind of, you get lucky or the other team kind of messes up their execution and you can make a wonderful save. But every other save that he's made, whenever there's a shot, he always seems to be in the shot lane, set, ready to go. He's not there late. He's not moving to the shot lane or moving to the location as the shot is being taken. And then what happens is when you're moving to the location, it usually opens you up. And then because you're not set, you have to spread open. You have to open your arm. You have to open your leg. And then pucks start going through you. No disrespect to Robin, but that was the thing that we saw a lot with Robin Leonard the last few years is his lateral movements were not where, we're not all that fast. And he used his size a lot. So if he was late on the pass, then you saw him open it up, and then pucks were going through him. With Carter Hutton, he reads the play really well, and he's not 6'4", 6'5". Listen, he has to make sure that to use his size and to be able to fill the net, he has to be in the perfect position to make the save. But the way he reads the play is just so good. A routine save makes me giggle up in the studio or on the 200 level, because I'm like, look at how easy it was for him to be able to get across and get in the position. So that's really nice to see.
Marty with us here. Marty Braun, AT&T Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Ron in Alden, you're on with Marty here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Oh, the media mogul. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Ron.
Quick question. So I'm watching Casey Nelson struggle. Ballou has been a surprise, but he's still going to be Ballou in the end. I would rather see a Pailu and Gouley up here, just like they're doing Casey Middlestat. And I don't believe in, like, if they're not playing enough minutes, I think they should be up here. I think that they're younger. They should all grow together. I just don't know if the advantage in the minors is as much as people say it is. I know the AHL is good hockey, but I just think those two players should be up here. And maybe a few others, too. I think, Thompson's been struggling, but they're going to play through it. Nylander never should have gone down. What, in your take, and I know you've been there, so what is your take? Do you think the AHL really is a good proving ground first, or do you think the NHL will be a better place for them? And I'll hang up and listen.
Great question. I do think that the AHL is a very beneficial place for a lot of players, but it has to be the right place. And I think you look at Pilot right now. I mean, A golden assist last night. He's performed really well in Rochester, so it's a good place for him to be. Brendan Gooley, Yale will be a good place for him to be as well. Now, Nylander is a different story. I think Nylander has struggled in the AHL, and I think he's done better when playing for the Sabres. So maybe there's a quick call-up for Nylander down the road so that he doesn't lose that NHL feel. But, you know, that will come with maybe some injuries or, you know, guys nursing a little boo-boos here and there. As far as Casey Nelson, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't see really Casey Nelson struggling. Casey Nelson defensively has been really good. I think Phil Housley and the coaching staff really like Casey Nelson and what he brings. He's a very much of a, we joked about it yesterday, but he's a Jay McKee type of player, but not as flashy with the block shots that Jay McKee was. Very simple, off the glass and out, maybe a good first pass. When he has the puck in the offensive zone, you can't expect great things to happen. He'll get it down the wall, put it in the corner. His shots really make it to the net, but that's not what he's on the ice for. What he's on the ice for is, you know, is sound defensive plays, killing penalties, and not be flashy and be a good sixth defenseman. So I think the coaching staff really likes him. I've not seen him struggle all that much. I think he's done fine. So I wouldn't be rushing Gooley or Pilot up at any point right now, especially since Bogosian's been skating again. Maybe we'll see Bogo in the near future, which would be really nice as well.
Marty, we will look forward to chatting with you again next Thursday, and I'll look for the advertising on the telecast.
You know what? You guys got to give me 30 seconds to ask Jeremy a fantasy football question.
All right, I'm into it.
My league is completely screwing me over. So I have Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and I'm really lacking a quarterback. So I offered somebody Aaron Rodgers for Jones, the quarterback in Green Bay. I think he's going to be spectacular. And the league vetoed the trade. They're all mad because they think it's not a fair trade.
Wait.
I'm like, I just don't see it.
Who are you trying to get? Aaron Jones? The running
Aaron
back?
Jones, yes.
Why would they veto that trade?
Exactly. Why would they veto that trade? I don't need Rodgers. I have Mahomes, and mm-hmm. I need running backs. If they want Rodgers, then make a better offer. But if they don't, then let it be, right?
Right. Is it a dynasty league or just 1 year?
It's 1 year, but you do have a keeper. So I know next year's keeper for me will be Mahomes. So, but still, like I'm trying to get myself in the playoffs, and I need running backs.
Collusion, Marty. That's
collusion,
what it is.
That's the way
that's
I call
right.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out to get you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
File a protest.
I have no choice but to agree to the trade next week when I make it again.
Right. Exactly.
Can't you appeal it? Sure. Isn't there a appeal process or something you could do?
Yeah. It's I sit around a few beers on Saturday night and appeal. That's what it's called.
Offer him a couple Sabre tickets, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that would be good, too. I think maybe
bribery.
Maybe I'll have to... To sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's bribery. So, all right.
Bribery, yes.
All right. Thanks, Marty. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.